It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah. Instant analysis is upon you from the State of Combat. How about a few words for you after this UFC Fight Night card in Abu Dhabi Fight Island? Welcome to the Figueiredo era. Yes, indeed. Davison Figueiredo. It only took him two dominant, one-sided finish victories over the great Joseph Benavidez to become your new UFC flyweight champion. Little less than a year after former champ Henry Cejudo vacated the belt, inevitably retiring. The new era finally begins. It was a stop-start affair to get to this point. We didn't even know Figueiredo was going to be fighting as recently as a few days ago when he passed a six-day quarantine in Brazil. Got on the plane late fight week, made the weight, did the deed. Here we are. And wow. You can do nothing but be impressed by what you saw in that main event. If you're not impressed already by the voice in your ear hole, it's your boy, the Brian Campbell, BC, in the house. This ain't no pay-per-view, but it had implications. So hitting you up with the instant analysis just the same for the third Fight Island card, Yaz Island in the UAE in a 14-night span for the UFC. And this was a big one for the flyweight division. And let's be super honest here about this. This division has had a rough time since its debut in 2012. An all-time great fighter took it over in Demetrius Johnson. But, you know, the casuals were slow to warming to him. His dominance was never fully appreciated. It didn't help the division standpoint in terms of building names and stars. And I think eventually people kind of got tired of his dominance. The ratings plummeted. The title bouts end up on regular TV, like in some ways this one tonight was. But, you know, Henry Cejudo may have saved it by injecting a bit of star power during his impressive but brief run there. But this new crop of guys, and they're really not new. I mean, Davison Figueiredo's 32, but, you know, it's really the last couple of years that we're taking him this serious. And obviously, Joseph Benavidez was in the first men's flyweight title fight in UFC history, the first flyweight fight of all in UFC. But, you know, this could have been that cherry on top for his long journey, and it's not. Instead, it's new blood. And the flyweight bouts of late have been fantastic, and the two we saw on the main card tonight, I mean, really got me fired the heck up in terms of what the future brings, whether they fight each other next and Askar Askarov's impressive victory over Alexandre Pantoja, who was number three in the division, or even if Brandon Moreno slips in there to face Figueiredo. He did enough tonight, the Brazilian slugger, to show you he's completely for real. Now, at 19-1, he already should have been for real in our eyes. And, you know, some people were late to that, me included, in terms of really respecting him as a threat. Yet he only has one career loss. Only has one loss in the UFC. And it came in 2019 in that loss to Jussie Formiga. He's been great outside of that. But, you know, he had that big opportunity in February for this vacant title. And he missed weight. And of course, we know what next. There was a headbutt. It opened up a cut on Joe. And then, you know, you give Davison credit. He sent him to hell after that. An impressive knockout, but a tainted one. We needed to see this fight again. And when you add on everything he went through to get to this point, he had an injury in between the two fights, the false positive COVID test, all that. And then he comes in there and does it even more dominant and one-sided. We did not see the first round that Joseph Benavidez had in February, where he controlled it from the outside, quick, in and out, all that. He was uphill this whole fight and getting the ish rolling back down to him. So here's the deal about your new flyweight champion, Davison Figueiredo. He's all that. And then some short, dark and handsome, and he'll bust a nut inside your eye, right? Just to tell you where he comes from. And he comes from a, as he said it in the post fight interview, a savage place in Brazil with animals running free. And he says he picked up on that vibe, and he did, because he's a slugger. We know that, but to become the first person to submit a guy as decorated as a 35-year-old Benavidez is very impressive. I mean, Joe's nickname is Joe Jitsu. He is a jiu-jitsu specialist. And to see Figueiredo knock down Benavidez multiple times with power shots, and seemingly it felt more like every time he touched him, Benavidez went down. And then to see the savagery that Figueiredo had in terms of the aggressiveness to apply the chokes and to take his back. And Benavidez had to fight through four stiff, like locked in chokes and broke free. But that last one, after he got dropped with the right hand, there's no coming back from that. And that was violent. Figueiredo had opened up Benavidez right before that final choke with some hard elbows and full mount. Everything about that was violent, including how he put him to sleep to win it. And the ref, Mark Goddard, not instantly recognizing that the bout was over because Benavidez's body was being yanked backwards. That's freaking violent in all the right ways. And that, like, screams from the rooftops that, hey, BC, You didn't give this guy a fair shake, all right? And here's the deal on Figueiredo. I love him. The swagger, the hair, the, you know, natural, just focused on finishing. He talks trash. He's everything I'd want in a champion. And now we've got some fun names. I mean, some awesome names. I mean, that Askarov fight against Pantoja tonight was, that was a freaking track meet of wrestling and submission attempts. And, if this division is back to having guys we really want to see, and, you know, some of these guys got some solid personalities there, but even without that, you want competitiveness. And it's a shame because we should have celebrated Mighty Mouse more. And we still can, down in one championship down there in Singapore. And he's still great, by the way, but that kind of one-sided dominance when you don't have the, you know, world-breaking personality to go with it can be hard. And, you know, to see now that we just got Hungry Savages, I am all in on seeing where this title reign goes. Figueiredo wants to be active. And this is a big night for 125. Shout out to them on this night. And, of course, shout out to everyone ingesting this instant analysis pod. 5-star reviews if you like what you hear. Sugar Rashad Evans on this pod every week, breaking it down on the MMA side. We always hit you in the box with Rafe Bartholomew. Hey, and how about a CBS Survivor special pod I put out there? Look, if you're even a casual fan of the greatest reality and strategic competition show in Survivor, you're going to enjoy the bonus pod I put out this week. We count down the GOATs with Eric Raskin, interview with season 3 winner Ethan Zahn and beloved player, and also David Sampson of CBS Sports stopping by there to relive his one and done episode in Survivor Cagayan when his tribe turned on him back in 2014. Don't miss those other offerings from the SOC. But back into this main event, obviously, we all love Joe Benavidez. Great guy. I mean, just a credit to the sport. This is heartbreaking. He didn't get the Michael Bisping cherry on top. He's the bridesmaid. You know, it sucks. So was Dan Henderson, but he was Pride and Strikeforce champion. So was Riyar Faber. But, you know, he was a dominant WEC champion and a superstar early. Joe never got that. And it's bad luck, bad timing, bad placement. He pushed Mighty Mouse to the limit in that inaugural title fight, lost by split decision, and then got, you know, pretty viciously knocked out in round one in the rematch, but rebuilt himself constantly. And, he beat Henry Cejudo in 2016 in the fight of the year. He's a great fighter, and there will be no happy ending. Robert Kraft not coming through that door. So it's rough. It's rough for such a great guy, but, shout out to the Olivi Benavidez family. They'll get through us. I do like that Joseph, and I've been interviewing from him for years. Each time I brought up the whole idea of bridesmaid and bad luck, he always took it well. He always understood the final score. He knows how great of a fighter he is, and he is. He was not in this fight, though, at 35 years old against a guy this focused and determined to take over the division. So we'll see where Figueiredo goes there. But this was incredibly bracing, at the very least, to see that the new sheriff is in town. And now, look, this fight card on paper, pretty good, right? I think it even exceeded that performance-wise. Very entertaining night at the fights. I want to jump down quickly, though, to that flyweight bout I talked about that opened the card. Askar Askarov, if you don't know about Askar Askarov, you better ask somebody, okay? The 27-year-old Russian, I said come in, could be, you know, a future title contender, like, sooner than later. He's 12-0-1. The only one is that draw to Brandon Moreno in 2019, and it was absolutely friggin' savage, a fun fight. You look at the pace that Askar Askarov sets with that cyborg level wrestling, and the you know, he's got a great punching style. He can switch stances. He's technical. He is like the most technical savage I think I've seen in a long time. I mean, you know, there's this Khabib comparisons in some ways, but Askarov even has a more polished striking game to go with that. The track meet he put on with Pantoja, who was the number 3 ranked fighter, Brazilian, huge motor, constant submission attempts, and Askarov breaking free. That was fun theater. That was really fun. Low key, any combination of fights over the next year between the champion Figueiredo, Askar Askarov, and Brandon Moreno are going to be hot friggin' fire. And that is what you want in a division like this. That is, you know, that is the identity you now covet and want for this. And they got it. Okay. Fired up for that. I mean, I can't remember the last time somebody won a title. No, I can't remember, because it does happen a lot in UFC. We change the guard quick. But, you know, when somebody seizes the title, you didn't just win it. You freaking grabbed it. I mean, it was Adesanya knocking out Gastelum is a great example. John Jones destroying Shogun Hua is another great example. But there was that element, you know. I've got that feeling once again. I can't explain. You would not understand. This is not how I am, but I am comfortably numb to the idea of this man leading the division and maybe Askar Askarov being next. And that's a big win over Pantoja. Unanimous decision. It was very close. You can argue for Pantoja because of the pace he set, but in the last two rounds, Askarov was too technical and he outlasted Pantoja, who slowed down considerably. Again, you got to be in insane shape to put on what these flyweights did. So shout out to them. Askarov coming out looking like a stud in this one. Woo! All right, let's keep the track moving quickly. That's a big win for Jack Hermanson at middleweight. You remember he had the 4-fight win streak. He was a quasi-title contender, but on the bubble. We got to really watch this guy. And then Jared Cannonier sends him to hell. And, you know, I went big on Kelvin Gastelum. I said, that's my lock of the week. He was, you know the stats. He was 2-3 with one no contest in his last 6. And, you know, he loses to the elites. But I remembered the performance against Adesanya. I know that is in him again. He came in here in tremendous shape for this. But this was a crossroads fight. If Gastelum loses, he goes back into the mix as just being another regular guy with more losses on his record than you'd think in recent years. Yet if he won, and if he won impressively, I'm telling you, he's like right outside of that title picture. It's Robert Whittaker after Costa, and then, if he beats Till, and then it's Gastelum for the rematch right after that. That's how this game works. And Jack Hermanson needed 78 seconds to tap him out via heel hook. And it's just wild the way that went down. Hermanson goes for an early takedown. Gastelum reverses it, gets top position, looking great, almost gets caught in a leg thing, breaks it. You're not feeling like it's going to be serious. And then it got serious. And then he tapped out. That's a heartbreaker. When you get into crazy good shape, when you need a win to stay up, and now you're down. And the good news is 28. The good news is UFC MMA supports losses to great fighters like this. You can bounce back 2 wins, but you got to go back around again to get those 2 wins to kind of reset where he is now. Sometimes you need 3 depending on the situation. But that's a tough loss for Gastelum, and that's a big win. And it's a weird fight. Anytime you get an early submission like that, especially when the person clearly isn't hurt or injured, they just got caught. He just got caught in that and had to tap. It almost feels like, oh, we didn't really get to see what we were supposed to in that fight, right? Mir, Lesnar won, anyone? But, you know, it's part of the game. And if you are Jack Hermanson, you know, you've won 5 out of 6 now. Going back 3 years. We got to take him seriously. He defeated Jacare. He submitted David Branch. And now, you know, as we look at the hierarchy here, I keep forgetting to mention Jared Cannonier's name, even though he knocked out Hermanson and is in the outside of that title picture looking in, and might get it next after Costa, for all I know, if Whitaker, you know, wins against Till or not. And I, you know, that's tough that I keep leading. A lot of us do because he's injured at the moment, but, Hermanson's, taking it. You got to take him for real. And he's already got that volume striking game. He can wrestle, and to see him pull this off, that's a big ass win, and that's a bad loss for Kelvin Gastelum. We also saw lightweights, Rafael Fiziev. Am I pronouncing it incorrectly? Because I'll pronounce everyone's name incorrectly if you give me that chance. Fiziev. Rafael Fiziev. This tank, this modern machine that we saw against Mark Giacchese, who, look, Giacchese's the flashy lightweight who will win some, lose some, win some, lose some. Yet, you know, this was supposed to be his time to prove that he is legit, that he's ready for the top, you know, six or seven guys in the world. He wasn't. He lost a unanimous decision, 30-27 on one, 29-28 on two cards. And he was in this fight, and he rallied late, and I liked all of that. Yet, Fiziev won the night. His, you know, his talent, my tweet jumped up on the screen here, that his talent is glowing through my screen. It's just like everything you saw out of him tonight. From the wrestling to the vicious leg kicks, every strike he throws was with fight-ending intensity. And he's just a friggin' savage, yet is so athletic and strong. And he did the Matrix thing again that we'd seen him from his old kickboxing videos back in the day. Played that highlight, by the way, on Morning Combat's Have You Seen This Shit Before? And didn't realize it was the same guy. This guy's very interesting now for lightweight in terms of what we do with him. 27 years old, from Kazakhstan, 8-1 as a professional mixed martial artist. And some of those wins have been scattered. He, you know, did kickboxing along with that. But he lost his UFC debut to Magomed Mustaev. I will mispronounce your name if you let me. Mustaev. Francisco. That's fun to say. All right. Hey, how about that? That's the only loss for Rafael Fiziev. And good God, I'm going to want to see more of this guy. Second straight win. 27 years old. Bring it. Bring it. Absolutely a tough setback, of course, for Mark Giacchese. Looked good at times, but was still the same somewhat incomplete fighter. Remember, he had lost three in a row, tried to find out how great he can be, bounced back with two good wins over Joe Duffy and Lando Venata, but this is now back in the L column. What else we saw on this evening? Not really much going on there. You know, a couple of good fights finishes. Roman Dolidze at light heavyweight had a really nice first round TKO, vicious knees and punches to get Kadis Ibragimov on there, out of there. And a big win for Grant Dawson, getting the unanimous decision over Nad Narimani. Catchweight bout of 150, but for Dawson, he was very energetic afterwards and excited. Still only 26. And 16-1 overall, unbeaten through four fights in the UFC, plus that additional win on the Contender Series. Watch out. But really, seriously, outside of Figueiredo stealing the headlines, it was Rafael Fiziev. That's a tough division, as we know, at 155. But I don't know if this was the perfect style matchup. I mean, look, Giacchese can strike with you. He's not going to take you down, not going to try to do other things. But that was a near-perfect performance against a guy who was there to win, and it was tough. Love that. Love that on this evening. Love you, folks, all right? You know, I know we're intimate right now. I'm deep in your cochlei giving you this instant analysis. But thank you for taking the time. Not going to do the 45-minute. What you think I'm going to do, right? Hit you up with four. No, this is a little teaser, okay? This is a little appetizer. This is like when you take the brewery tour, okay? And then at the end of it, they got the little sample glasses for you, which can, by the way, can be hit or miss depending on what the brewery's looking to give you. I did once went on the Miller Brewing Tour in Milwaukee, of all places, back in like 2000. God, they had a solid tour. Then you go to the tasting room afterwards, and look, I mean, it's freaking Miller High Life, right? I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is there, but, champagne and beer, shout out. It was fresh as balls, and it was great, and you could drink upwards of five sample cups per thing they had on tap. So, yeah, we got loaded. We got pretty loaded. And then they had these, here's what the best part about this story. They had stacks of postcards there. Like, you know, solid, Miller themed postcards. And you can mail them for free. You could just write to whoever you want, whenever you want. And, you know, this was pre, certainly having, you know, cell phone with internet in our pocket. So it's not, but because of that, because it was pre-information where we need it, you know, we memorized everyone's cell phone and address. And I just remember sending the most, most absurd and inappropriate postcards to people completely drunk and had no idea that I did it to all, to every single one until I heard about it years later. So that was a great story that went nowhere. But, you get what I'm saying here. We'll be back this week, Tuesday. Check out the SOC regular weekly MMA pod, Sugar Rashad Evans, stopping by. We'll get his thoughts on this card, latest news, and we'll look ahead, of course, to next Saturday, July 25th. Just happens to be my birthday, folks. The final Fight Island card when we get Robert Whittaker and Darren Till. Holy crap, right? Big win tonight for Jack Hermanson. Then you got Whittaker Till. And then also, like I mentioned earlier, what was announced tonight from multiple reports, I believe Combate in Brazil broke it first, that Adesanya Costa will happen September. Oh yeah, give it to me. Pay-per-view, probably Las Vegas. That's going to be incredible. Fun time for the division right now. Okay. A lot of great fights we could make in the near future. I mean, look, Adesanya Costa is sex in a box. That's going to be freaking fantastic. If we end up getting Adesanya Whittaker next, for example, rematch would be great. There's a lot of fun combinations you can make. So that is it. That is it. All right. That is what it is right there. And, yeah, you know, when you don't know what to say next, you probably should close up the shop. Oh, so Tuesday we'll have that for you with Rashad Evans, new boxing podcast this week, right? Interview with, Virgil Ortiz Jr., the unbeaten Golden Boy welterweight, one of the potential rising stars in boxing. He will return next Friday against Samuel Vargas on DAZN. We'll hear his breakdown of, the division, where he stands in that and all that. Check out that Survivor pod I teased you as well in the archives there at the State of Combat. And please support what we got going on. Our sister company Showtime, of course, producing the weekly morning combat show, a combat show like no other, folks. Myself, Luke Thomas of SiriusXM and Showtime, breaking all things down. MMA, boxing, ridiculousness, current events, pop culture. There's a special sauce in that show that keeps getting passed between viewer and, you know, and us. And it's fantastic, all right? So get fired up for that. And, you know, I mean, I won't ramble anymore, okay? That's it. BC signing off. B. Campbell CBS on the Twitter, at Brian C. Campbell on Instagram. The SOC, we out.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.